Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Maple's been a staple in Vermont for a long time, but who really knows how it was being used in recipes a century or so ago? One person who was so curious about the subject that she had to find out is Candace Page, who writes for the Savorvore section of the Burlington Free Press. Candy, nice to have you back at the VPR Cafe.
Great to be here during sugar season.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So we want to know what got you started on this quest and where you found maple recipes from the 19th century.
Well, I got an email from Greg Sanford, who for many years was the state archivist. And apparently in his retirement, he was in the library going through the original reports of the Maple Sugar Makers Association back in the mid-1890s when it was formed.
This is something Gregory would do.
Yes. I didn't ask why. I just took the tip that he gave me, which was that in the reports of the annual meeting, there were sometimes as many as 24 recipes that the members contributed. He said, you really ought to go find these recipes, try them, and talk about them. So I took the challenge.
And where'd you find them?
The copies I found were in the Special Collections Unit of the University of Vermont Library.
So was sugaring a bona fide industry at that time?
Well, that's really why the Sugar Makers Association was formed, to make it a bona fide industry. Many dairy farms were making maple syrup in March every year, but there were no quality standards, there was no grading, and quite often the farmers were at the mercy of whatever the general store would pay them for their syrup. So the idea was to try to organize a little bit, find better markets, expand the market for maple syrup, and at the top of the list was fighting the perception throughout the United States that maple syrup was what you bought from some guy in Chicago who had made, you know, sugar syrup and added a few drops of maple syrup. The sugar makers estimated that at that time, 95% of what was sold in the United States as maple syrup was not.
Oof. So you found some of these early recipes from the late 1800s. What were they like, and how were you able to test them?
Well, I had to keep reminding myself that these recipes were contributed clearly by farm wives. Number one, they had an inexhaustible supply of maple syrup, maple sugar, Jersey heavy cream, eggs, all those things that now we pay an arm and a leg for, that was a soft spot in their living. So they thought nothing of starting a recipe by saying, take 3 cups of maple sugar. Well, you need to take out a mortgage these days to go out and buy 3 cups of maple sugar. So I have to say the first thing I did was I set aside the maple sugar recipes and concentrated on the recipes that called for maple syrup, which is somewhat more affordable. And then, of course, the second problem I ran into was these were women who were making these dishes every day. You know, maple butternut pie, maple rolls, maple cake, maple frosting, maple fudge, maple taffy. And they did it by eye. So many of both the instructions and the amount of ingredients was a little vague. So I plunged in to give it a try.
With some good results and some bad, I take it.
Yes. Well, I brought for you to taste 2 attempts. One was for a maple pudding that comes right out of the Sugar Makers Association in 1898. It's made with cornstarch with only a little bit of egg in it, and I thought it was fabulous. It has a very clear, pure, but not overwhelming maple flavor. Unfortunately, we don't cook much with cornstarch anymore, and I certainly don't have the technique. So what I ended up with was maple sauce rather than maple pudding. So I've been using it. I pour it on cake, or I pour it on my oatmeal in the morning. So it's delicious. Mm-hmm. Much more reliable is a maple oven custard, you know, really a flan, mm-hmm. that's very much like a flan that you would be served today. Incredibly simple, very reliable. I put it together in under 5 minutes, and it's just delicious.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm speaking with Candace Page, who writes for the Savorvore section of the Burlington Free Press. We're discussing maple recipes through the ages. Candy, were there any low points in cooking with maple?
Oh, definitely. After I read these early recipes, I sort of swept all the maple cookbooks off the shelf at UVM and went through them. There's a century of them. Good recipes, bad recipes, but the absolute low point was Jell-O, which was a very exciting thing, I guess, in the 1910s, 1920s, made with maple syrup. So if you can imagine, Jell-O comes, the powder comes sweetened, and to that you were instructed to add a cup of maple syrup along with the boiling water. And it just sent me into diabetic shock even thinking about it, besides which, you know, mixing maple syrup with that artificial orange flavor, no. Bad idea.
My teeth hurt. Have maple recipes changed much over the centuries?
They certainly have. The cookbooks show our changing approach to food. So particularly in the mid-20th century, there was more reliance in these cookbooks on packaged products, Jell-O. I've encountered a maple bread made with shredded wheat as one of the ingredients. And another abomination was recommendation to take those puffy refrigerated doughs that you can, biscuit doughs that you can buy in the dairy case, and use maple syrup to turn them into something that you would eat with dinner. No, I don't think so. On the other hand, I'm a child of our time, I guess. So when I got to the 2012 recipe for maple espresso milkshakes, I thought, yes, this sounds good.
That does sound good. You must have a favorite from all the hundreds of recipes that you've poured through.
I do. I always thought that my mother invented the whiskey sours we drink in our family. But I was going through a cookbook from about 1950, and there was the recipe. And it turned out the cookbook was written by a friend of my grandmother's, so that's clearly where this recipe came from. So let me give it to you quickly. 4 units of whiskey, and it can be cheap, 2 units of fresh lemon juice, 1 unit of maple syrup, and put in a shaker with ice cubes. You will never look back.
Wow, that sounds fabulous. I'm thirsty now.
I'm sorry I didn't bring some. I thought it probably wasn't a good idea to drink on the job.
Well thought out. Candace Page writes for the Savorvore section of the Burlington Free Press. Candy, thanks for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
It's such fun. Thank you, Rick.